Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities with Lori Peterson and Abby Weinstein. Lori and Abby spend their days talking about dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and ADHD. They talk to parents of struggling students and adults who have had a lifetime of academic challenges. They want to share those stories along with their own insights with you. So, let's talk learning disabilities.
Hey everybody, this is Lori.
And this is Abby.
And welcome to episode number 29 of Let's Talk Learning Disabilities. Abby, I can't believe we're 29.
We're 29 today. I can't believe it either. We've been doing this now for 29 episodes.
I know, and I was trying to think of when we started, and I honestly don't remember. Has it been the whole year? Did we start in the spring?
I think we did start in the spring. January, I was out of town, and that was like episode two or three.
Oh my gosh, we've been doing this for a whole year.
Yeah, it's been almost a year. Well, thank you, everybody, for sticking with us.
So today we have a really, really special episode because I have a very special friend here today who's going to share her experiences of what it's been like growing up with dyslexia. And so today, my friend Emily is here. Hi, Emily.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, thank you for being here. We happened to catch her on her break from home from school, so we're very excited that she would step in with us today.
Agreed to join us.
So first things first, why don't you just tell us a little bit about you? Tell us about kind of where you're at and who you are.
Yeah, well, I'm Emily. I just turned 20 in September. I go to the University of Arkansas at Fayetteville. Let's see, I'm a sophomore. I'm a DG up there, so a Delta Gamma. I don't know.
What's your major?
I'm a history major with an international relations minor.
And so what do you want to do with that?
Law school or nonprofit?
When you say nonprofit, though, what is that?
The goal, if I do go into that, would be to travel the world, kind of working with different nonprofits, seeing where I can help the most.
My goal is to travel the world.
Good goal. Me too. Maybe we need to go into international relations.
Apparently I need to change my
major. That would be really cool.
Okay. So Emily and I go way back. We've known each other for, I've lost track of how many years, but I met you when you were in about the fifth grade.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah.
So when I met Emily, I was helping out at her school with their, she was at a private school and I was there to help out with their learning lab. I was kind of a consultant of sorts. And Emily and I met, and I just started working with her just as a tutor, right? We did some testing a couple of times, but when I met Emily, she had already been diagnosed with dyslexia, and you had already gone through a dyslexia program, right?
Yes, I believe that was the year that I was finishing up with that program.
I think you might be right. So your school was unique in that most private schools don't have a dyslexia therapist on staff.
Yeah, that's right. I was really lucky to do that just because that was not something that was offered most places.
No. Normally kids who are in a private school have to get that outside.
After school,
yeah,
too.
So do you remember when you were diagnosed the first time with dyslexia?
I remember the testing. I never was like really told what I had that came from all that testing. And then after all the testing, one day my parents were like, you're going into this class instead of English class.
Okay.
So that's kind of like when it really hit me, like something was up.
When did you figure out that it was dyslexia, or when did you really start to understand what dyslexia was?
Probably about the same time that you came around.
Okay.
You were the one that kind of like told me. I think you were the first person that really told me what I had and like what was going on. You were like definitely the most, you were the best mentor that I had.
Thanks.
When it came into that, because no one had told me what was going on.
Do you, which that is terrible, but do mm-hmm. you remember when you went to dyslexia therapy? Do you remember the kinds of things you worked on?
Yeah, I remember the binder. It was like a blue binder. It had like a bird on it.
Isn't it funny the things you remember?
It was the blue bird, and there were three of us in there, and we all kind of hated going into there because like, why would you want to go into a small classroom instead of hanging out with your friends in class? Mm-hmm. But we would work on like phonetics and spelling. That's what I remember hating the most. Mm. So that's what
it
stuck with me.
It seemed boring and probably silly at the time, right?
Yeah, I didn't understand it. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't really like
having, why you were there.
Yeah, I didn't know why I was there, and I didn't like it because I felt so singled out.
Right, being pulled out of your regular class.
Yeah.
So you probably don't remember if you noticed it helped, or do you remember?
Today, I think it did. Back then, I definitely don't think so.
It was hard for you to see the application of it.
Yeah, I think it was still with you when I was still figuring out like what had helped me with so much.
Right.
But especially when I started that program, I had no idea why I was there. I didn't like it. I didn't want to be there. And then today I kind of look back at it. I'm like, oh, wait, that actually did do something.
That really helped. Yeah,
it did help.
Do you remember what types of struggles you experienced before you went through that dyslexia therapy program?
I was really young when it happened, so definitely not, because I think I got diagnosed in the first grade.
It's really early. Yeah,
that is really early.
Yeah. Do you remember being frustrated with school or not liking school?
Yeah, that first grade is when I think all my frustrations kind of started with schools. Because kindergarten, you're still like learning the basics.
It's still fun.
And it's still fun. There's lots of playtime.
Exactly. And then the first grade, you kind of like have to get down to cracking and you have to start reading books. And I couldn't read some of the books. And I'm like, why can't I read the books?
And noticing your friends are reading them, right?
Yeah, like it's my friends were reading very much higher level than I was.
So I think that, you know, speaks to why early intervention and early identification is so important, because you didn't have time to really build up a lot of, you know, frustrations and dislike
and
for
dislike,
school.
Right.
You know, whereas if I think you had been left to struggle, I think you would have hated school a lot more.
And it would have affected your self-esteem so much more, too. You would have started to have some negative self-talk, like, why am I so slow or stupid? Yeah, maybe I'm not smart.
Do you feel like, though, so middle school, right? So you finished the program, fifth grade, you're still getting some additional support, you know, getting to go to the learning lab to have test read or whatever. Do you feel like that support you got in middle school was helpful?
Yeah, I feel like that was the stuff that I remember the most and it helping the most. I don't really remember, like, the actual dyslexia program. Like, I remember the basics, but I just remember being pulled out of class and questioning why. But when I got to middle school and it was like actually helping me and I was being read tests and I was being helped, like truly helped, it was a lot better.
Because it was applicable. Like I have a history test, you're going to help me read
exactly.
this. So it made sense. It wasn't learning phonics and then not understanding how that applies. That makes sense.
They were helping you with your actual work that you had to do and the tests you had to take.
For sure.
So when you finished eighth grade, you transferred to a public high school, which was just a 9 through 12 school. And so if I remember correctly, you did get a 504 plan.
I do have one, or I did have one.
And so tell me about that. Tell me what you had. And I know you are very stubborn. Didn't want to use any of it.
I fought you and my parents.
We had to tie her down and make her use it, but at least get it.
I did have it. I didn't use it.
Any of it?
No.
No.
I really didn't.
What did you have? What did they give you?
I think it was the same, about the same things I had in middle school. So the reading of tests, a learning center where I could go if I needed for quietness, extra time on tests, like kind of the basics of what someone with dyslexia needs, of just like extra time, extra help. And at the time I really fought it because I really thought I'd like overcome it. Like I'd been through the program, I had gotten help in middle school, and then I was at this point and I'd flipped to a completely new world, and I just didn't want to feel the same way that I did in middle school and elementary school of just being singled out of needing extra help. Like it kind of felt like a weakness at the time.
Do you think, looking back now, do you still feel that way?
Yes and no. Like it was very beneficial that I had it in case I needed it, but at the same time I also didn't use it.
But you worked really hard not to use
it. I worked my butt off so I didn't have to use it, because I didn't want to, because it's kind of the idea of like, if you tell me that I need to use it, why do I want to? That person that's going to prove you wrong and be like, JK, I don't need it.
Right. You were determined to show everyone you didn't need those accommodations.
Yeah.
You wanted to be like everyone else, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And to be quite honest, you didn't need them. I mean, you killed it, right?
Yeah, I got through high school with a 3.78.
Wow. With some hard classes, too. You didn't
AP classes. Yeah.
Wow, that's excellent. So you didn't get your tests read to you or use the extra time on tests?
Not very often. I would for the AP classes most of the time, just because it's a little bit more time constrained and they're a little bit differently set up. They honestly remind me of like a lot of the college essays I'm writing right now, which is really good.
College classes, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I did use them in my AP classes, but that was about
what
it.
What about for the SAT or ACT?
I can't remember if you got that or not.
I did get it for the SAT and the ACT, because I mostly took the ACT.
So you had that extra time?
I did.
Do you feel like it helped?
Yes. Yeah. I'm very happy. Like, that was the one thing that my mom really pushed for, and I was actually, it helped a lot. I don't think I would have gotten the scholarship that I'm on today without it. So
tell us about your scholarship that you got because of your ACT.
So I got a 24 on my ACT. And because of that, at the University of Arkansas, they give out scholarships for out-of-state residents. If you get a 24 and you have a 3.5 GPA in high school, and you get 70% in-state tuition.
Wow.
That's huge.
That is huge.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
I'm getting basically in-state tuition living out of state.
Wow.
That is, and that's a humongous huge difference in price, too.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely the only reason I'm
awesome
up there.
Well, great job on the ACT and your GPA. Yeah, very nice.
And so then you have to maintain a certain...
Yes, I have to maintain a 2.7 GPA to stay. That's the only requirement. And I also have to take 12 hours, which is standard. Right. So
when you went to college, you have not visited disability services, correct?
I have not, no.
Despite recommendation to visit disability services.
Very true, I have not. However, I do work with them. I am a note taker for the kids that do need them.
That which is amazing to me.
That is amazing.
That you're actually providing an accommodation for somebody.
Right.
Yeah. So I really flipped it because I work with disabilities.
You have good writing skills then to be able
You've
to be a note taker.
Yeah, I also go to class. So.
Which helps, right?
Yeah, that also helps a lot.
Which is just an amazing thing that you would think most people would understand that, but really going to class does make a big difference,
doesn't
it?
Does make a big difference.
Yeah, if anyone is listening, go to class. Just go to class.
Do you think that part of the reason that you didn't want accommodations is that you thought you would be treated differently or viewed differently?
Definitely in high school, that's how it felt. Today, I went through high school without really using it, so I kind of, like, if I need it, I can always go back and be like, hey, actually, I need help. But especially in high school, that's how it was. Mm-hmm.
But you don't see that in college. You don't see the people that you're helping being treated any different, do you?
Yes and no. I think it's also on a different scale because it's a little bit more quiet. Like, not as many people care.
Right.
There's not as many eyes that really, like, your professors care, and that's about it.
Nobody mm-hmm. notices.
Nobody yeah. knows you're getting accommodations,
exactly.
really.
So it's not, it's definitely less of a stigma.
Right. So.
And I think the people that really need it benefit from it.
For sure. The people that I'm helping, do, like, they are doing well on their tests, and they're, like, mm-hmm. actually doing what they need to do.
They're appreciative.
Good. Yeah.
And you did well in high school without the accommodation, so you knew you were capable of doing that in college.
Yeah. I did really well in high school for what I was taking. I used it for the AP classes, but I feel like that's pretty understandable. Mm-hmm. And then now that I don't have any of it, I'm doing just fine. And if I ever need help, I'd always go back to ask for it.
Okay, good.
So what? So I want to go back a little bit because we kind of skipped over a part that I want to talk about. So when you were getting ready for, I think is when we were doing your reevaluation, we were doing your new testing for SAT and ACT accommodations.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Or for high school, I can't remember which it was. But we redid your testing and we realized that all that stuff you had learned in the dyslexia program, a lot of it didn't stick.
No, none of it stuck.
And so what we figured out is that you actually also had an auditory processing disorder.
Yes.
Your brain was not processing the sounds. So when you went through that program and relearned all those phonics skills.
Didn't really stick because hear what it actually was.
So you ended up going through some therapy as a ninth and 10th grader, right? For auditory processing, which, again, not a fan. You were not a fan of that.
No, I fought that every single week.
But in hindsight,
I'm happy I went. I kind of probably need to go back, but.
You think so?
I think so.
Why?
I can't pronounce things as much anymore. I don't know. It kind of I did the motions of it because I had to. And I didn't appreciate what it was, and I didn't really know what was going on. Once again, my parents never told me what it was. And so I went through the motions, fighting, kicking. And then when I got out after a couple of years, especially last year, I really noticed it. I was like, oh, yeah, I probably could use that. My pronunciation needs to be better.
Right. So the way you articulate words, and that's just exactly what that is.
Yeah.
I feel like when I was working with you, I saw a difference from before therapy to after therapy. Like, even though you didn't want to be there and you probably didn't give it your whole heart, I still think you definitely benefited from it.
Oh, for sure. I don't think I would be saying that I want to go back if I didn't think it helped anything.
So. And I thought it was interesting because I do think your spelling really improved.
Oh, it has. I'm always impressed. There are only a couple of words. I'm just like, I don't know how to spell that. I'll find a different word.
Right.
But
great. And so you probably.
Exactly.
You get much more out of listening in class during lectures and instruction.
Yeah, I can understand things.
You can understand. You can process all that auditory information.
Yeah.
And take notes for other people, which is great.
Yeah.
I think the lesson is that, like, while you're going through that therapy, it seems silly and irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. Or a waste of time.
But really, it definitely serves a purpose.
Oh, it does. Everything that I did, for the most part, that you and my parents made me do, did help. As much as I kicked and screamed doing it, it definitely did stuff. It helped in the long run.
That's good.
Well, and I think interestingly, looking back too, you know, a lot of your struggles were in math.
Yes, I'm actually better at math. I also don't take any math classes anymore. So
yeah, you're done.
I am done.
You know, for a dyslexic student, sometimes other than just word problems, right? Math isn't as hard, but you definitely, and I wondered now looking back in hindsight, if some of that was just the auditory processing and hearing and understanding the directions.
I would bet it is. And
you,
like,
you
even
missed
through high
pieces
school.
Of instruction, probably.
Yeah.
You have gaps.
I probably did.
Because we did a lot of stuff on the whiteboard and we did lots of visuals. And I think that really, not even knowing at the time we were doing it, how much that really helped.
Yeah. I remember that giant whiteboard that you had in your office.
Yep. And we did everything on it, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
And so, yeah. I mean, and I think that's speaks to, like, learning how a student learns and working towards that, because you were able to fill a lot of gaps that way.
Yeah.
Even still struggling with auditory processing because we did everything so visually.
Being able to present the material in the way that she's going to learn it best and interpret it and take it in best, which at the time with your auditory processing difficulties, you were more of a visual learner and you learned based on pictures.
And some of that was just the public school setting of just not accommodating to every student, especially when I did get into high school. That was the bigger issue just because teachers in public schools aren't able to accommodate as much.
They teach one way.
Yeah, they teach one way and it's the only way that they're going to teach. So whenever I came to you after school and being able to visualize it, it helped a lot during high school.
And I think that's when we talked about having students that maybe need some tutoring. You know, tutoring is important to be taught it in a different way. Like, don't just reteach exactly the same way. Going to your classroom teacher for tutoring isn't always the best.
Yeah, that's why I really always fought it. My parents would always want me to. I'm like, they're just going to teach me the same way.
Still makes
that's
no
not,
sense.
It's not going to help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You needed it explained in different ways or simplified language and visuals and demonstrations.
I need a whiteboard.
And you need Lori's whiteboard.
Yes.
So other than some articulation, you know, kind of things today, is there anything else you feel like that, you know, your dyslexia or auditory processing still impacts? Or do you feel like you've really sort of, you're on the other side of it?
I feel like I'm on the other side of it. I do know that if I ever need help, like, I will always go and get it. I'm not fighting it as much anymore because, like, if I feel like if I need help, I'm just going to give up and just go.
You know, what that's called? Maturity.
Exactly.
Yay, we're there.
Yeah, finally there.
And being ready to advocate for your own needs.
Yeah, I mean, I learned that a lot in high school just because when I got to those AP classes, I quickly learned I need help. And
you have
I
to, yeah.
quickly went and got them. So I do feel like I've learned a lot through it just because I was kind of forced to kind of see what I needed help with. And no one was really, really telling me.
You had to figure it out.
Yeah, because I had you and my parents and everyone else around me, but I had to figure it out for myself.
Do you meet with your professors?
Every once in a while.
But you don't meet with them at the beginning of the semester and say, hey, I'm Emily, I have a dyslexia.
Usually not. Freshman year, I had a speech class. That was the only professor that I told because I was struggling in a couple of speeches. And she's like, hey, email me. Like, let's talk. What's going on?
Oh, good.
Yeah, she was a really, really good professor. I loved her. She was awesome. And she noticed a couple of my articulations in the speeches. And she was like, talk to me. Tell me what's going on. Like, do you need help? You seem
that's
like you
so
do.
Great. Mm-hmm.
And so I told her, I was like, I have dyslexia. I kind of keep it on the down low just because I don't usually need that kind of help. But you are right. Like, my speeches have been failing a little bit because of my articulation and all that good stuff of public speeches.
Mm-hmm. Right, just the general idea.
Yeah, and so she really helped me, and she didn't give me a break, but she was able to kind of look inside my brain, like see what was going on inside of there, and mm-hmm. she could judge it based off of that.
Which is nice. That's what you want.
Yeah.
Was it weird for you? Did you ever feel uncomfortable reading aloud in class?
Yes, I hate it.
You hated it?
Do you still hate it? Yeah. I just, like, because of my articulations, mm-hmm. and, like, a lot of times, especially when I'm reading aloud, my brain will just, like, skip over words. Mm-hmm. And so I don't really trust it to, mm-hmm. like, do a good job.
Well, and I think you've created some habits just that have been more strategies that you've used while you've read silently that don't tend to really translate when you read out loud.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, I'm reading lots of books for all my history classes, and they kind of teach you, like, different ways of reading all those books because I just read a book with 1,000+ personal stories in it.
Wow.
And they're like, just skip over them.
Really? So they're teaching you to skim?
Yeah.
To skim.
And to skim, because it's like a 500-page book, yeah. and you have to read it in a week and write a book report. Yikes. You don't want to be wasting your time reading over things that are repetitive and mm-hmm. that don't actually help you
Those are good strategies.
Get mm-hmm. to the point. So, yeah.
That's a good strategy.
That is a good strategy.
So if you could go back and give your fifth grade Emily some advice, what advice would you give her?
Don't fight it as much. I fought it tooth and nail.
I won't tell your mom you said that.
I told her.
Okay, good.
I did tell her. I fought it tooth and nail, and, like, I'm very proud of myself because it did make me grow and, like, kind of have my own standing, and it made me fight for what I liked and what I wanted. But at the same time, if I had just not fought it, I probably would have been a lot better off. I probably would have been in a slightly better off position.
Just with more support.
Yeah, mm-hmm. with more support. But at the same time, like, I did fight it, and I am here today just doing as well. Mm-hmm. So
partially because of the interventions you received.
Yeah, for sure. Because of all those people that cared and didn't let me fight it.
Right.
Well, but I do think you fighting it though and kind of finding your own way has helped you get to where you are.
Yeah. I mean,
now you've pushed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of those goals, because, like, a lot of people told me that I would never get to college. Like, that was a big issue in my house of, you're never going to college. And I proved them wrong. Like, every time someone told me that I can't do it, I would just prove them wrong, because that was the thing I hated the most. And that's probably why I fought it so much, is because I had so many people around me telling me, you can't do X, Y, and Z. And I was like, watch me.
Mm. Right.
Like,
you can't do it without this help.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
There's no way you'll make it without this help.
Exactly. And I was like, watch me.
So you're just stubborn.
Good for you.
I'm just stubborn.
It's paid off.
Yeah. It has paid off.
Because you have an excellent work ethic.
Yeah.
It's helped you excel, too.
For sure.
And the fact that you're now a note taker for the Office of Disability Services is crazy. Like, that is such a great story, you know, because now you have such empathy for the people you're helping.
I know mm-hmm. I know what their brain is thinking. Yeah. So it's really helpful for them, because, like, I know exactly where their brain is missing things. I know what they aren't really understanding. And if they ever need help, like, I'm in a very basic level history class right now. It's a requirement. And I am able to help them because I'm like, oh, yeah, I know history. This is really easy to me. Let me help you. And I can help you ways that I understand and mm-hmm. that you will understand.
I'm so excited to see where you go from here, because a little bit of me thinks that you're going to end up helping people with learning differences. Or I mean, I really do, because you have such a great story and you have so much empathy for it.
Maybe if you go into law, you can do, like, special education law or human rights law.
I'm excited. I mean, I was excited in high school to see where you ended up, and I'm still, like, I can't wait to see where this goes, and I'm so proud of you.
It's been a journey. I'm very proud of myself.
It sounds like you've come a long way.
Yeah,
and you're doing awesome. You're excelling in everything you put your hands on, which
is
great.
And what a success story, you know, especially for parents that are listening that have a student with dyslexia or auditory processing, or really any learning disability, mm-hmm. that it's absolutely, you know, the sky is the limit. It doesn't limit what you're capable of. You may have to work a little bit harder.
Oh, yeah. You have to work a lot harder, but, like, let them work that hard.
Right. It's
like, it's going to be good for them in the long run. Like, fight it, obviously, because you want to help your kid. But at the same time, like, if they're fighting you back, that's just because, like, they want to do it themselves, mm-hmm. and it's going to be better off.
And those accommodations that you did receive when you received them didn't make life any easier. It didn't.
No.
It didn't water things down for you. It didn't change what you were able to do the next year. Like, they were just there as a support.
Yeah,
and I think that's important too.
Yeah, they were there as a safety.
Safety net.
It didn't hinder you.
That in case if I fell, it was there.
Mm-hmm.
So awesome.
And when you needed it, you knew you needed it, and you went and asked for that help. That's great.
Yeah, I'm not as scared to ask for help as I was in high school, just because I went through 4 years of fighting it so hard.
If I ask for it, what are they going to think?
Yeah.
So encourage other students to go ahead and let that support be in place, but then you could decline it and or say no thank you and not take the help.
I think one of the biggest reasons I just haven't done it in college or don't plan on doing it in college so far is because, like, I know when I need help at this point. I have been through this for almost 20 years. Mm-hmm. And so I know my limits. And you have to learn those limits as you go through all of the stages of life, but I am in college now, so I know when I need help and when I can do it on my own.
And there are supports available for kids without disabilities, too. I mean, you can still go to tutoring. You can still go to the writing center.
Especially
you can still
at the go big to, universities.
Yeah, well, really everywhere there is some level of support, so it doesn't always have to be through disability services. Just ask for help.
There's someone always willing to help. Absolutely. Like, your professors want you to succeed, or the good ones do.
Right. No, you're right.
That's true.
And they're going to be the ones that are going to, like, those professors are going to help you because they want to see you succeed and they want to see you graduate and do what you want. Mm-hmm. And if it's a basic level class, you can't go far without those basic level classes, and they want to see you go on. Like,
They're going to be, they're there to help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, that's your professors are there to help. Let them help you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
They have office hours.
Right. Exactly. And tutoring and, awesome. And TAs and
TAs are the best. They're so nice. I love my TAs.
They're very helpful. Yeah. Well, thank you for being here today.
Yes.
Thank you for taking time out of your short trip home to spend with us. We really appreciate it.
And thank you for sharing your story and being so open and transparent with us. We appreciate it.
I love hearing, you know, and that's, I think that's what sometimes we talk about. We're frustrated at times when we don't get to hear about after we've helped worked with a family. We don't know what happens.
What happens
so
next, right?
This has been like such a gift for me because I've been able
She's
to watch
been watching it
for a long time. Yeah. Right. I've been keeping up.
Yeah.
I would
for a
love
while.
To know how so many different individuals are doing. So it's exciting to get
so
to
we'll
hear
get to,
success
we'll get to
stories.
See Emily through the rest of college and where she goes. And thank you for sharing with us today. We appreciate it. Absolutely.
And also, I think that in some upcoming episodes, we'll have more guests of that are just different individuals living with various types of learning disabilities, because I think it's great to hear those success stories, those struggles, those triumphs of overcoming struggles.
We're still trying to get over it.
Yeah, absolutely. It is nice to hear.
Yeah, I think those are great to see, because you just see, especially as a parent or somebody who's newly diagnosed, it's like, well, where is this going? Mm-hmm. You know, how do I get over this? So
what now?
Yeah, I'm excited about that. Well, thank you guys for being here today. Thank you. Yeah. If you have any questions or suggestions about upcoming episodes, you can reach us at letstalklearningdisabilities@gmail.com. Abby?
Lori,
have a great rest of your day.
You too.
Today and is it's the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving Eve. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Hopefully everyone's had a happy Thanksgiving and is settling in for the rest of the rest of the year.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Thanks, guys. Have a great rest of your day.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us today. In our show notes, you can find information about today's talk, as well as links to resources and other episodes. If you have questions about today's talk, have ideas for future episodes, or just want to stay connected, you can contact us through Diagnostic Learning Services on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So, let's keep talking learning disabilities. This podcast is sponsored by eDiagnostic Learning. You can find more information at www.ediagnosticlearning.com.